This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hi and welcome to Life and Faith. Today we present part two in a series of excerpts from John Dixon's new book on humility, A Lost Key to Life, Love and Leadership. Today John looks at the heart of leadership and how humility is demonstrated in some of the most influential and inspiring leaders throughout history.
When you think about it, some of the most influential leaders in history got by without structural authority through their immense power of persuasion and life example. I'm thinking of epoch-changing people like Jesus of Nazareth, who was a Galilean peasant brutally executed by Roman might and yet somehow reset the Western calendar and reshaped Western culture. From the East, think of Mahatma Gandhi, a mid-level lawyer with little actual political power, even as the head of the Indian National Congress. But his vision of an India free of hatred and British rule, and his austere protest fasts and practices of non-violence made him the most influential man in the subcontinent during the 1920s and 1930s, and the father of the nation for modern Indians. The London-based Hibbert Journal of 1918 predicted with accuracy the rising influence of Gandhi. Persons in power should be very careful how they deal with a man who cares nothing for sensual pleasure, nothing for riches, nothing for comfort or praise or promotion, but is simply determined to do what he believes is right. He is a dangerous and uncomfortable enemy, because his body, which you can always conquer, gives you so little purchase upon his soul. Think of the people who have had the most influence in your life over the years. Did they achieve that influence through their structural power over you? I doubt it. I've already mentioned my Year 5 school teacher, Henry Bingham. Yes, he was my teacher, so in that sense he had authority, but I distinctly remember him as one of the least domineering personalities in the school. Yet he was able to calm me down in the explosions of anger that occasionally followed my father's death in a plane crash. And he was able, through the force of his gentle trustworthiness, to guide me away from some of the sillier decisions that a hyperactive 11-year-old can make. Through my teenage years, the biggest influence in my life was not my football coach, who could kick me off the team, or my kung fu master, who could kick my butt, but a middle-aged volunteer at the school who taught scripture once a week. In Australia, one relic of Christendom is a one-hour lesson about religion in government schools. It is serviced by volunteers, not teachers, which made it infinitely more attractive than officially supervised non-scripture. The scripture-teaching women, they were usually elderly women, had no authority, and so it was often a free-for-all. At 15, I had no intention of attending church or of taking religion seriously. My upbringing was loving, but completely godless. My scripture teacher had the courage one day to invite the class for discussions at her home on Friday afternoons. She promised hamburgers, milkshakes, and scones. A group of us took her up on the offer, thinking that a few minutes of God talk was a small price to pay for free and copious food. In that lounge room on those Friday afternoons were the class clown and bully, a petty thief, drug users and sellers, and various other kinds of happy pagans. She showed us quite extravagant patience and hospitality, put up with having her video cassette recorder stolen one week, and even housed one of our totally inebriated mates for a night in her beautiful suburban mansion, following a drunken Year 10 party around the corner. This is not the book for Damascus Road conversions, and frankly my perspective on faith is not as simple and straightforward as it was in my late teens, but the influence of Mrs. Weldon on the direction of my life is lasting. It was an influence totally without authority, full of persuasion and example. I could offer other examples from academic life or from the corporate sphere, but I'm sure these suffice to underline what many readers already know from their own experience. Whether it is Mahatma Gandhi transforming one of the largest countries on earth, or the mentor who saved us from rookie errors early on in our career, leadership is fundamentally about relationships, and so requires first and foremost the relational instruments of persuasion and example.
That's John Dixon reading excerpts from his new book on humility, Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love and Leadership, available through Zondervan.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.